welcome back to another episode of V Pirate Radio. It's been a minute, as it oftentimes is with us, but we're here to have a nice, fun little chat about tech stuff and what's going on in the IT community and around the world and in our own lives and whatnot. We appreciate everybody that listens in to our ramblings. We hope you find them at least entertaining, if not somewhat informative. But we enjoy doing it, so we hope you enjoy us enjoy doing it or something like that. Anyway, hey Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Brian. It is good to talk to you, my friend. I am glad to hear before the call that employment is finding you well.
Yes.
Once again, in positive news on my part, you know, there are a number of running jokes related to this podcast. There's Joe and his trains. There's Jim and his internet. And my fine people, my countrymen, and Matt, I will tell you that this week, Fiberman has been on my road. He has been out. He has been stringing cables.
Is that a Marvel or a DC superhero?
It's a West Virginia knockoff.
Well...
Oh,
so
I was thinking he's just now getting 1982 Japan anime. You
know, so let me give you fine folks a visual.
Oh, hold on.
So
Jim, show us your fiber.
Yeah. No, I can do better. It's a spoken visual, if you will. So as the gentleman is coming down the hill on the cherry picker truck on top. Riding along in the bucket as it drives so he can zip tie the fiber as he comes. And, you know, he is a safety conscious gentleman. Very, very safety conscious. He has his hard hat on. Brian, I do ask you, ask me what kind of hard hat he has.
Is it red with white lettering?
It's a cowboy hat.
Safe. Always the safest. I mean, 10 gallons of protection, right?
Was he full on safety squint at full speed?
This is not his first rodeo.
I don't have my sound effect board. Dang it.
Yeah. I have been told that within a single digit number of months, one or two to be specific, I should have fiber optics available to me. So my life is about to get better. For no other reason than I can boot the last vestiges of the Elon Musk of my life into the sun. So that part of stuff is going pretty well. Joe, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. Adjusting to a new role. It's been an interesting, new year. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I got the fun of doing a mental health certification course. So
that's awesome.
That's cool. It's given me a couple of extra new tools in the tool belt. Yeah. All in all, man, I've just been trying to move into a new role and work with a great manager who's actually focused a lot more on work-life balance. Overall, it's been interesting. What about you, Matt? How are things in the Great White North?
We're in a cold snap right now, so. You know, it is what it is.
It's called Wizard.
Yeah,
right?
I know. But no, things are good. You know, it's from the work perspective, calendar's already starting to fill up with some potential trips, conferences, all that sort of stuff. Getting back into the swing of things. You know, can't really complain in that regard. But things are good. You know, I'm very excited to hear about your internet, Jim. You know, it'll be exciting day when we could talk and we could hear you and see you at the same time without pixelation getting in the way. So that's going to be pretty cool.
When Fiberman comes back, you're going to have to host a FaceTime party so we can all sit outside with you and watch the guy polish the tips. So
we'll have to have a guest episode. I will invite Fiberman onto the Fiber Radio podcast.
Oh, this will be glorious.
Hey, buddy, come down from the truck. Let's record a podcast.
Make sure he's got the hat. Better yet, ask if you can get up in the cherry picker with him and do it from up there. Video on, because you'll have fantastic internet connection to stream it.
Hey, you can do your traffic report from up there.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Tell them you're a power top so you're safe up there. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell.
I'll get a tiny choo choo engineer.
We know somebody that can borrow you one, I'm sure.
No, I need a hard hat.
Oh yeah.
We will make this happen. We will make this happen.
Wouldn't be the strangest thing we've worked out before.
No, it would not. No, it would not. Speaking of strange things, what do we have to talk about today, Brian?
Great segue. Yeah, so let's talk about turning the tables on the bad guys. Cybersecurity speaking.
Yes.
You know, a lot of great news coming from the international cybercrime agencies fighting back and just shutting down some of the bad guys. So you know, there's a lot of news bits out there about and some ironically defacing of ransomware gang websites been going on lately. That's really encouraging. That, you know, I can't wait to hear some of the readouts of how they got to this point and what it took to get this. You know, CISA is usually pretty good about giving us some reporting as to what happened to get them here. I love these stories because it shows that the good old days of the CIA going around and trying to stop communists by just simple human intel and trying to figure things out and connecting dots still goes on today in cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And they find some really freaking cool things and are able to use the same techniques against these bad people to stop them and to figure out what's going on, to steal their playbooks and to deface their websites just like they would do to our own companies. And quite frankly, it warms my heart to talk about news like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you guys that have not been living on InfoSec, Twitter, and Mastodon this weekend, like myself, and it sounds like Brian has a little bit, a consortium of international, I guess, quote unquote, I don't want to say good guys.
Uber friends?
That is so the wrong term. But, you know, professionals that tend to stay on the better side of life.
White hats, or at least gray
organizations.
Hats.
White hat, yeah. Yeah, gray hats. All went together, Europol, the NSA, CIA, whoever, all FBI.
All the letters.
All the letters. All went in together, and thanks to the Lockbit group not patching their PHP servers in a lot of places.
Ironically.
We're able to get an infiltration, and according to the defaced websites, are going to be doing data dumps on various different days. They've already arrested two people, and they are going to unmask in true Scooby-Doo fashion the leader of the Lockbit group on the 23rd, to which he said, good luck doing that, they don't know who I am. Which is probably about the most fuck around and find out statement that I've heard in 2024. Lockbit, for those of you guys that don't like militantly follow like ransomware and stuff like that, like some of us do, over the better part of 2023, Lockbit alone made about $120 million through their own hacking tools and then their affiliate program, because, you know, they're the Amazon of
ransomware as a service is a real thing. And part of the reason why it's gotten so bad.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah. You know, they alone were $120 million worth of ransoms that probably shouldn't have got paid in the first place. They got taken down this week. In the past few months, the other two biggies from all of last year, Conti and I call them Alpha V, but it's not that. It's ALPHV, but you will better know them as that group of people that took down MGM and Caesars.
Amongst many others.
They got taken down. Amongst many others, but you know, this is, which is really interesting to me because to me, they really represented a big changing of the guard in how ransomware happens. And to see them get shut down so fast is pretty awesome. You know, effectively, they're, you know, as Brian said, everybody's out there doing work right now and trying to make the internet a little less shitty in that regard. You know, can we take down the trolls on Reddit? No, we can't do that. But maybe we can do this. So that's a bit of a win.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be the good guys winning,
yeah,
but at least the bad guys are losing. And I think there's that's not it. Many of us that would disagree with these groups like Luckbit and Alfie being the bad guys in all of this. I mean, all mm-hmm. the, all those compliance trainings you've had to take, those you know, anti-phishing emails,
proof point emails,
or yep. phishing test emails that you've gotten that you may or may not have passed. You know, that's we have groups like this to thank for those things because they've made it such a prevalent piece of the internet today and just doing business electronically that you can't avoid it. And you know, there's conversations earlier today just about how AI is just going to throw gasoline on this fire. How we all have to be prepared to be more cognizant of these things, slow down, think about what's being asked of you. You know, it's not just ransomware, it's phishing, it's scams. You know, had a long conversation about the Bourbon Exchange thing that was going around on LinkedIn this holiday and how people, I saw it coming from all sorts of people that I respect. I'm like, oh, you know, they're into it. Maybe I should think about this. And I thought about it and I slept on it. And then the next morning I woke up and I'm like, wait a second, this is the old pyramid schemes and you know, forward this letter mm-hmm. to 24 people and send a book to the one person that sent it to you of my childhood. And I'm like, this is the exact same thing. There's no way the math works on this. People have been manipulating people for forever. And these ransomware gangs are doing that as well. And so any comeuppance that happens in that space is just joy in my heart. It shows that maybe we aren't in the absolute mm-hmm. worst timeline. I'm not going to say we're in the best timeline, but any stretch of the imagination. But it shows that, you know, hopefully some people get their comeuppance and, you know, maybe life works out sometimes.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that a lot of what comes out of this is the, you know, like with the 11,000 or whatever domains and all the servers globally that are getting taken down. Not only have they already talked about a couple thousand victims that are potentially getting access to their data with all the decryption tools, but the more widespread all of this gets, the more like top level cybersecurity researchers and government entities all the way down to any script kiddie looking into things on the weekend can get access to this data and try and connect the dots and see how they were doing some of these things will hopefully improve the security at some point for everybody going forward.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Like, what sort of impact do you think this will have real world? Do you think we're going to see a sharp decline in ransomware attacks this year? Do you think it's going to be a drop in the bucket?
It'll be a short term drop, depending on how deep they really got into taking down their infrastructure. But what we've seen in the past is that whenever one of these groups gets broken up, we'll say broken up as a very broad term, they tend to scatter and reform. And I don't have it up to talk about it, but you can trace some of these groups from one group to the next. So you could see the influence a small group of individuals have as they go from one group to another. And the signatures that they carry along with them. It's a fascinating field from that perspective because you can see those signatures. So I would suspect, based on historical performances, is that we will see a sharp decline in these things going on. Given the amount that have happened in such a short amount of time, I'm suspecting we'll probably have a nice reprieve for a while. But then it'll slowly start to creep up. We'll see some new tactics. We'll see some similar tactics. We'll see tactics that use some of the same sub tactics with some new flavors in there, and we'll see some new group names forming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's absolutely some value. This one sounds a little bit different.
Yeah.
If what's being published is correct, and this isn't like, you know, NBC News's interpretation of what's being published. This is what is being put out by these groups themselves. They've actually already physically arrested two people at the leadership of the group. They've got warrants out for two Russian nationals. Of course, the United States government has warrants out for Russian nationals, and we're going to see how far that goes. And then they've got a third person they're getting ready to quote-unquote unmask, like I talked about. But the bigger part of it is like you said, Brian, ransomware as a service is absolutely a thing. So a lot of that spread out and trickle out that you talked about before was not necessarily, you know, these groups going and doing the attacks themselves. It was all these little affiliate groups that were really creating all the noise. Think of the DDoS days way back in the day when, you know, you had botnets fighting botnets and all that fun stuff. But you had all these affiliates that were just going and using this tool or that tool. And so when one got shot down, they just moved to the next. Well, with this one, in theory, they managed to grab the affiliate group contact info, if you will. So, you know, there is at least a modicum of hope that there will be some thinning of the herd of, you know, the people that are actually, you know, boots on the ground doing the attacks. And so I'm hopeful about that. But that being said, I think, you know, as a data protection professional, let me throw this disclaimer out there to everybody. Yes, you do still need to encrypt your data. Yes, you do still need to have immutable backups. Yes, you still do need to do all that shit. Because, you know, it's...
Yes, my security guy is still going to lose his shit when I take a USB stick on fishing line and throw it in front of him.
As he should.
Ransomware has been horrible, but I will say that since the beginning of the pandemic and when we really saw the massive onslaught of ransomware doing its thing, I think we have gone leaps and bounds in terms of data security and data protection. We probably made more gains in 3 years than we did in the 10 before it.
And that's
just because we had to.
That's what I was going to say, is we kind of had to, because, you know, 2020 introduced two of the things that disrupted things that social engineering has used for eons, which is everything felt immediate and had to be dealt with. Like, we had this pent up, like, things need to happen. And just the general disruption of people's flows of work being the second part. And they took advantage of that. And their intention is always to make it sound plausible, make it sound urgent, and make it sound like you're helping somebody. Like, social engineering is about people wanting to do good things. And generally, people do want to do good things. I'm not one that believes people are naturally good or evil. So I think both influences pull on them either way. But, you know, people want to help individuals. And so when a Nigerian prince reaches out and says, hey, I can reward you for helping me out, and I've got this really big problem, will you help me? People fall for it. It blows my mind, and I'm sure it blows the mind of everybody listening to this, but it still works, which is why it still happens. And so the pandemic definitely threw gasoline on a fire that was already burning. Like, I first found out about ransomware from a customer back in, must have been 2015, 2016 timeframe, so long before the pandemic hit. I found out about it. And because one of my customers got hit by it, and, you know, he's like, I restored the files, and then they just locked up immediately again after that. I didn't know what was going on. And he and I had, this was the first time I had met this particular customer in person, and we talked for an hour about it. And I'm like, holy cow. If this thing spreads, this could be a huge problem. And here we are. So yes, it's the necessity of us all having to learn. And you know, if we want to find a silver lining, the silver lining is that everybody's way more aware of cybersecurity and what is happening. And, you know, on another podcast I actually recorded earlier today, we talked a lot about, you know, these topics and how social engineering and manipulation and AI and all these things play into this particular topic, but it's something that we're all aware of now because we have to at work for the most part. We don't always all take it home with us and do it with our personal data, which is a whole other problem. I'll be more than open and say me as a cybersecurity professional who works in data protection and trying to help people understand cybersecurity better, I'm not perfect at it by any means. I sometimes see the scams. Right now I'm kind of in the mode of I'm jumping at shadows and sometimes finding legit things less than ideal. And being maybe too hesitant on things just because I know it's just gotten so bad out there, and it's a tough world out there. That's, I don't really have good advice for people other than take a pause, really think through the thing that's going on. Does the math add? Do the math in your head. Figure out if I send one bottle of bourbon, I'm going to get 24 back. The math doesn't add up there.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same issue that we ran into a couple years ago with all the Microsoft Windows customer support calls. I mean, I say that as someone whose uncle paid the dude three different times on three separate occasions, and each time I had to go through and clean up his computer and stuff like that. I mean, you know, unfortunately, the reality of it is for a lot of American population right now, we are an aging population that is not tech-centric. And these are the same people that are making enterprise solutions and a lot decisions in a lot of ways.
And I don't, none of this is to shame anybody. Like, we're all human. We're going to fall for these things. I've used some examples of where I've thought through.
I fell for the bourbon thing.
And I know lots of people that did. And because it's, you want to do something good for other people. It was the holidays. It's about, trying to help others. And if we could all help each other and benefit in the end. I was 10 seconds away from falling for it too, to be honest. Fortunately I slept on it. So I don't say that to say I'm better than everybody, cause I'm not. I'm using that as an example of where me being paranoid paid off. We could all use a little bit more paranoia, in that regard. Maybe not everybody. There's some people that are way too paranoid otherwise. But it's human nature, and we are fallible systems. My wife was dealing with a problem on her phone. She's like, I can't do computers. I'm like, that's because computers suck, hun. They sometimes don't do what they're supposed to do the way that they were engineered and we were told they were supposed to work. Humans are really no different at this point.
As someone who works in a product organization, I feel like I owe a lot of people an apology sometimes. Because, I mean, the thing of it is we're all fallible. Even those of us that work in tech and, do relatively, deep tech level positions, there's a need to have multiple eyes on all of these things. And anymore, Brian, you brought up AI, there's a need to have lots of tools, and frankly now as someone who abhors things like GPT, the use of AI that we need is we need the AIs hunting AIs type of thing. We're using some of that. So yeah. But speaking of those tactics and stuff like that, one other thing before we get completely off the subject, Monday was the day that just kept on giving, and when it comes to like InfoSec. Yet another thing that kind of dropped out is, for those of you that follow InfoSec, that there are commercial actors and there are, various types of actors. But the biggest one that we've seen over the last couple of years is the nation state actors. And somebody in China decided, well, to hell with it, and dropped many, many, many pages of the playbook from one of the more known Chinese groups, at 41, out onto GitHub. If you search for iSoon, you will find it. And we'll post some links in our show notes for this as well. But once somebody gets around to translating Mandarin, which is not going to be me, there's going to be a pretty interesting playbook for all the different ways that they find to attack you. So, you know, Matt, you asked the question of how much is this actually going to matter? Well, you know, Lockbit going down, that's going to matter a little bit. But, you know, the more that we know about how these attacks happen, and especially when they're current, I think that is when we start to get more realistic things. So seeing documents like this stuff, which is, you know, like I said, it's hundreds of pages.
So, Jim, the real question is, are you going to learn Mandarin so you could go through there and find out if Fiberman's in there?
You know, he may well be, you know, I mean, somebody's going to bring internet to West Virginia. He probably already knows Mandarin because he's going to be a smart dude.
Is this where Hackerman and Fiberman combine for some sort of, like, supervillain?
Much like Captain Marvel, when she truly hits her finest form and she just starts to glow, this is Hackerman, you know, he's got light coming from every orifice.
I was thinking Constructicons, but that works too.
I was picturing the dude from Silverhawks that had the cowboy hat. Like, we're getting way off into... Yeah.
We're here for all of it, you right. know. Yeah. Insert your meme here. You know, it could be MacGyver for all I care.
All of nerddom combines. Cool, guys. Well, I think we're about at the time. We try to keep it at. So I think that's a natural conclusion at that point before we go completely off of the choo-choo rails. So let's maybe close out. And, you know, I said it before, and I'm increasingly appreciative of everybody that does listen to this. We do it for ourselves, but knowing others actually listen to it. And several of you have said things to me about it. So I do appreciate that, knowing that others have enjoyed listening to us ramble. But hopefully we'll be back soon, back on the ship, and ready to set sail with you all again soon. Take care, guys.